You know, speaking of the Federal Reserve and gold and silver, this week, Congressman Ron Paul, who I greatly admire, continued his tireless campaign to end the Federal Reserve. On Thursday, Dr. Paul was interviewed over at the Fox Business Network. I wanted to share a few snippets of the interview with you this week, as I found it to be fairly insightful. As you may know, Congressman Ron Paul believes, as we do, that the Federal Reserve should be ended, as it is an unnecessary and, more importantly, unconstitutional institution. In this interview, the interviewer first asks, if we end the Federal, and maybe you thought of this question before, if we end the Federal Reserve, how would we fund our current level of government spending? Because honestly, the Federal Reserve creates the money, it monetizes the debt, and it allows the government to overspend. The interviewer begins his interview by asking Congressman Ron Paul, if we end the Federal Reserve, how would we fund our current level of government spending? Here's Congressman Ron Paul's answer.
Well, you have to ask, how did we pay for it before 1913? You have to pay your bills by spending less money. You can't have a welfare state. You can't police the world. You can't have a warfare state. So the role of government has to change. But if you want big government, you have to have a Federal Reserve. And just think of what's happened since 1913. I mean, we have had tremendous increase in government, and it really exploded after 1971.
Okay, stop the tape. Okay, what happened in 1971? Well, if you've been following our organization for very long, you know. In 1971, President Richard M. Nixon effectively closed the gold window, essentially creating the very first global experiment with a fiat paper money system. So up until that point, there had been a semblance of a gold standard, but after that point, it went entirely away on an international level. Therefore, there was nothing but paper money awash everywhere with no backing by gold or silver. Now, let's listen to the remaining portion of Congressman Paul's answer and pay very special attention to what he says about the price of gold and what's driving it.
You know, before 1971, we had less than $1 billion measured by M3. Today, it's over $14 trillion. And the price of gold is not going up. It's just the dollar is being devalued. And some people have this silly notion that a weak currency is good. And that's all our federal government does. And even Bernanke admits he wants inflation. He's looking for it because that's the way you pay your debt down. That's how you default on sovereign debt. So to me, it's wicked because the people, you know, get cheated. They get cheated out of their savings. They get low interest rates. So it's a wicked system, and it was never meant to be, and it's coming to an end. That's what people have to realize.
Well, it's interesting to note that the competitive currency devaluation that we were talking about just a minute ago that's occurring around the globe is having a direct impact upon the price of gold. Next, I want you to listen as the interviewer asks Congressman Paul an interesting question. He says, if the Federal Reserve were to come to an end, as Congressman Paul desires and as we desire, what would Americans use for money since the Fed creates and manages the current monetary system? And here's Dr. Paul's answer.
Well, I mean, they did it before. They paid with coins. But even in the modern age with the technology, you don't have to. I mean, there are exchange-traded funds now. You can exchange gold over the Internet. So, yes, there would be substitutes, and there could be certificates. We had gold certificates. It's the limitation of the Fed to print and create money that is the purpose.
But
people,
sir,
didn't lug a heavy gold around their pockets. They carried silver certificates in my lifetime.
Now, Congressman Paul refers to silver certificates, and those, some of you may remember those. Those were actually paper money, but that was actually backed up by an amount of silver that you could take in and trade in for silver. Obviously, it had a backing. Now we have Federal Reserve notes. So they are actually intrinsically worthless. They're only backed up by the full faith and credit of the federal government. They're only redeemable for more paper. So the interviewer begins to ask Congressman Paul what the difference is between a silver certificate and a $100 bill from the Federal Reserve. Roll the tape.
A big difference. The big difference is they can't print a silver certificate without having the silver. So it restrains the monetary authorities. It restrains the counterfeiters. It restrains those people who want big government. See, conservatives want big government for some reasons. Liberals want it for other reasons. But they work hand in hand. You know, they work together because they both brought about the Fed. They like the Fed to monetize debt. That's the purpose of the Fed. But they get us into trouble. Over these many decades, decades, the Fed has gotten credit for the good times, and when we had a recession, they always got credit for getting us out. And it was all an illusion. They should get all the blame for the bubbles and all the blame for the inflation, all the blame for the unemployment. And now the secret is out. People now, Main Street America, are waking up and they know there's something strange about the Federal Reserve.
All right, so the interviewer then begins to chuckle and gets sarcastic and asks if we should return to a gold standard similar to that of the old Bretton Woods system. And he asked this to Congressman Paul. Roll the tape.
Well, we need a gold standard, but the Bretton Woods was deeply flawed. Henry Hazlitt wrote about that back in 1945 and said it wouldn't work because there was too much license. We weren't even allowed to own gold. Yes, we should have a gold standard. We could start off by obeying the Constitution. Only gold and silver can be legal tender. No emitting bills of credit, which is printing press money. But today we know a lot more about monetary policy than we did in the 19th century. We had bimetallism then. We had silver and gold fixed. You know, at 16 to 1. Well, that wasn't the market. So there's a lot of things that we can do. But the most important thing is have money of real value. Paper money never lasts. All paper currencies end badly. And that's what we're in the process of doing right now.
Well, next, the interviewer asked Congressman Paul his thoughts. Instead of having a gold standard where dollars are tied to gold, what about creating an oil standard where dollars are tied to energy? Would that be more practical?
Well, I would let the market determine it. I believe in competing currency. If I would legalize that, that wouldn't be legal under the Constitution. But I think it's incorrect to say it's more fungible. The reason gold is money because it's naturally fungible and you can convert it. If I want to check on you, if you're the banker, you're the government, and you fare to issue me a certificate, I can't go and get a barrel of oil from you.
Stop the tape. Okay. Anyway, you get the idea. You have to understand that the mainstream media at large is still reeling in shock over the fact that gold and silver, of all things, are in such demand right now. You see, bankers and the financial elite cannot print gold. They despise gold because they cannot print it. They simply cannot control it because it has a finite supply. They can't print it. They can't create it. They can only suppress its price, and they've been doing so very successfully for many years. J.P. Morgan, for example, who Bill Murphy from GATA, who was on the program not too long ago, came on and talked to us about this, how there's price manipulation. Why? Because bankers and the financial elite in general despise what gold represents, what precious metals represent. They have historically been a constraint upon central banks and upon governments, and all they can do is suppress the price of gold and silver. And right now, that's becoming more difficult to do than ever. So we are truly living in historic times, folks, I tell you. And what I believe we are in right now is one of the very largest wealth transfers in human history, all of human history. As this global fiat currency system caves in on itself, and as wealth flows into real assets like precious metals, like commodities, like energy, something we call PACE here, PACE investing, these are the areas that are going to explode over the next 7, 8, 9 years. They're going to continue to explode. Gold is up 331% in 10 years. I mean, no one's even made any money in the stock market indexes for a decade, yet gold is up 331%, and there's still not any kind of respect for it in the mainstream media. The stories are always, well, gold's getting ready to go, silver's getting ready to go down. Oh, how long can it last? Look, gold and silver are going up because of the knuckleheads in Washington, because they will not stop spending money. It's that simple. And it's almost as if we are a nation full of six-year-olds. We just don't get it. But those who do are going to be part of one of the largest wealth transfer in human history. Truly historic times. And we talk about PACE investing here. Precious metals, agricultural commodities, energy, all of these areas, hard assets that simply are going to rise as more and more and more currency is